Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Let us go to our next segment, which is our Ask a Pastor segment. Remember, this segment is dedicated to you sending your questions through. Whatever question that bothers you, send it to us, and my producer will find you a pastor who's going to answer the question for you, so that you don't find yourself boggled and baffled and bothered by questions without answer. And that's why we have these pastors always on standby to take your questions. Such a case is as today. We do have Pastor Ongwenya joining us on the line to answer our question for today, as he has been doing the whole week. Pastor Ongwenya, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us. Mfundisi, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. I can now. So our question for today, Mfundisi, is pastors use humor and satire in their sermons to engage the audience?
Well, the quick answer to that is yes. I'll explain further, but the quick answer to that is yes. Often the question arises due to perceived tensions between biblical reverence and human expressions, and among Adventists, the question is frequently sharpened by Ellen G. White's statement on how pastors should conduct themselves in the pulpit. I'll explain on those, but the quick answer to the question is yes.
Just go ahead and give us that explanation. I'm curious from this.
Thank you so much. Maybe we do well to begin by defining humor and satire, so that at least we have the same understanding. To me, humor is the use of light-hearted, witty stories or remarks to connect emotionally and mentally with the listeners. It creates engagement and aids in retention of serious truth. And then satire is a sharper form of humor that uses irony or sarcasm to expose folly, hypocrisy, or sin, often with the goal of provoking repentance or critical reflection. So that's what we are looking at today. This is how I look at humor and satire. So as I indicated, the answer is yes. Let's look maybe at Ellen G. White's statement in the book Evangelism, page 643. It says, the flippant words that fall from his lips, the trifling anecdotes, the words spoken to create a laugh, are all condemned by the word of God and are entirely out of place in the sacred desk. The sacred desk in this context is the pulpit. These are Ellen G. White statements that usually trigger these questions, the question that we are focusing on today. So this quote, when dealing with Ellen G. White, we need to follow sound principles of interpretation, where you consider the context and we take everything that the prophet has said upon a particular topic before, you know, coming with a conclusion, and many other
sorry for this. I don't know if I heard you well. It sounds as though from what you just read, humor is not to be allowed in on the pulpit from that reading right there.
Yes, taking it from the surface, many people conclude that it means that. But when you look at the context and the principles that are being communicated, we then come out with understanding that she's focusing on that which makes the message it lessens the seriousness of the message. That's the main point that she's presenting, not bringing a principle that should be used in all, you know, instances.
Yeah, so my curiosity for this really is in all of that, what your answer was and what now is disputed in the writings of E.G. White, there is no biblical basis for either of these. Do we have any biblical guidance on these?
on humor. Yes, well, the guidance is that we have humor in the Bible. Jesus himself used humor to communicate. Bible verses use humor and satire.
Really?
To communicate. I'll just pick a few examples.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Well, from Ellen G. White, there are a few. Maybe let me pick those and then go to the Bible. The statement by Ellen G. White, where she talks about long prayers, where she said, these long prayers weary the angels and the people who listen to them. And then there is a statement in Letter 5, June 24, 1878. Dear Willie, Father is trying to be a cabbage head. And then another one where...
Sorry, Mfundisi. I'm not sure I follow. What these quotes you're reading, what are they?
I'm talking about Ellen G. White, where, I mean, her perception, perception about humor. We're saying Ellen G. White also used humor to communicate a certain, information or principles. So that's why I was picking those ones. Then to the Bible.
Sorry, Mfundisi. So the quotes you have quoted are examples of humor.
Yeah, Ellen G. White's humor.
I missed it, Mfundisi. I didn't see anything humorous there. Okay, all right. Let's go to the Bible.
Oh, okay. Okay, let me go to the Bible then. Jesus, in Matthew 7, verse 3, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? And then Matthew 23:24, strain out, you're talking about the hypocrites, they strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. And then Elijah.
Wait, is that supposed to be humor, Funis?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. To me, it's humorous.
Okay. All right. Go ahead and finish.
Yeah. Well, it depends on how you define humor.
Right.
From
right.
The definition that I gave. Yes. From the definition that I gave.
Right.
It fits into humor. And then there is satire also. I see a satire in 1 Kings 18 verse 27, where Elijah, challenges the false prophets, shout louder.
Right, maybe he's relieving himself. Yes.
Yes, and then also Paul, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 8. You already have all you want. You've become rich. Here, Paul doesn't really mean the Corinthians had everything. They did. He mocks their self-deception by pretending to agree with them only to reveal the obsessed certainty of their thinking. So he uses hyperbole to communicate something.
Right.
So when we go to the Bible, we find, and then there's Proverbs also, bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. And then, when I first read that verse, I laughed.
Okay.
I laughed the man. A man who has been filled, through deceit.
Right.
And then his mouth is filled with gravel. Yeah. So okay. Those are the examples that I see in the Bible where there is irony, there is humor that is used to communicate something to make it more clear to the viewer. This is how I look at it. So,
okay.
Yes, it is a piece.
Okay, so I agree. I've seen some parts of satire in scripture. I agree. I saw some parts of mockery. I agree. I've seen some parts of hyperbole. It's the humor that I have not yet seen. Perhaps there is humor in satire. I agree, because satire has been used to induce a humorous effect. I totally understand there. But as a matter of principle, so is that to say the Bible doesn't speak on whether humor and satire are wrong or right? Would I be correct to say that? There is no edict or dictum.
Yeah, of course, there's no specific verse that specifically addresses that. It's only us as we read through the Bible and read Ellen G. White's writings where we condemn humor.
Right.
When a pastor or a presenter, uses humor, we tend to quote especially Ellen G. White's statement. But now, what Ellen G. White was condemning is specific.
Right.
She was condemning that which is irreverent.
Okay.
So Ellen G. White was condemning what is irreverent jesting, not the use of not the use of humor per se.
Right.
Also condemns not the use of appropriate levity. So this is the distinction that we need to make. So usually the question on whether a person should use humor or satire usually comes from, well, in the context where I've been, people would be quoting Ellen G. White's writings. And then also, you know, when they look at prophecy, some would say Christ is in the holy place. Why laugh? Why, you know, all those things? You have to wear a serious face.
Mm.
So that's where these questions usually come from. From where I've encountered them.
Right, right. So according to Ellen White, laughter is irreverent.
Not, you're talking about jokes that are irreverent. Jokes that, you know, take away the seriousness of the message.
Just read that quote again, Mfundis. Please read that quote again, the Ellen White quote again, please.
Okay, let me go there. Let me go to Ellen G. White's quotation. The flippant words that fall from his lips, the trifling anecdotes, the words spoken to create a laugh, are all condemned by the word of God and are entirely out of place in
you
the
see?
Desk.
So words used to create a laugh are forbidden according to Ellen White.
Yes, where you make a joke, you know, for the sake of making a joke, but now...
to make a person laugh.
Come again?
To make a person laugh. So making people laugh is irreverent for her.
Making people laugh for the sake of laughing.
Making
people laugh for the sake of laughing. This is what is being communicated. But, you know, driving a point in a way that makes people laugh and grasp the concept. When you look at the life of Ellen G. White,
right.
She used that. So when you look at her life, how she
No. I don't want us to use her as an example, Mfundis. I don't want us to take her as an example. Her writings are inspired, not her lifestyle, not her thoughts. We want just the writings, the inspired writings, right? So let's avoid using her, because we're gonna find ourselves now on very difficult terrain. Come with me, Mfundis, to the book of Job.
Okay.
Job chapter 8.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there?
Let me try to get there. Job 8 and verses.
Verse 20.
Verse 20. Let me get there. Uh-huh.
In fact, from verse 19. Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out mm-hmm. of the soil others will spring. Verse 20 mm-hmm. speaks about God. Behold, God will not reject a blameless man, nor mm-hmm. take the hand of evildoers.
Mm-hmm.
Then verse 21 says, he will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouting.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on and on and on. Now here, there is no preaching here. There is nothing holy here. There's not. It's purely God making people laugh for laughter's sake. According to Job, here, God is a jester. He's a clown. God is a stand-up comedian. He's just going to fill you. He's going to say and do things that will make you laugh.
Yes, I agree with you on that one. Yes, yes.
Then help me understand what Mrs. White is talking about here. Is Mrs. White saying God is wrong? God is irreverent for making people laugh for laughter's sake?
Well, I want to believe that when God makes us laugh, it will be for a purpose.
There is no purpose here, Mfundis. Here. When you read the book of Job, there's no purpose. It's simply God avenging Job and restoring Job and making Job see and experience things that will yield him a laugh. He will, verse 21 says, he will yet fill your mouth with laughter. And your lips with shouting. You see now, it's not just laughter. It's shouting, that commotion, you know, in a stand-up comedian set where people laugh and they comment, you know, that commotion, that irreverence there. You see that situation of irreverence there when people are laughing and there's commotion in the house because they were made to laugh by the comedian. Yeah, verse 21. He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouting. According to Mrs. White, if I heard you right, Mfundis, please correct me if I'm wrong. That's irreverent. God here is irreverent. God is wrong.
The context was the pulpit, of course.
Mfundis, the heaven. God is higher than the pulpit.
It's a pulpit every day.
God is higher than the pulpit. The pulpit is far beneath.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So if we were to look at the pulpit, to him is pulpit every day. But well, he's higher than that. He transcends that. I agree with you. But all that I was communicating is the context. What Ellen G. White was communicating, not that laughing itself is sinful. Like I indicated, you know, God makes people laugh, as you just read the text, as opposed to what other people think. You know, we should always be serious, no laughter. But it is God who planted in us the emotion of laughter, no, to be happy, to be sad, you know, it is him who put all those things.
So
they're part of who we are.
For me, Mfundis, my curiosity is, if God is the one that makes people laugh, why would it be wrong for us to do what God does on the pulpit?
I think the purpose of the pulpit should be the secret to our answer.
Where do we get? There are no pulpits in the Bible, Mfundis. The pulpit is purely a Catholic invention that is supposed to distinguish a pulpit from a podium. There is nothing. There's no pulpit in the Bible. That we can't now
give people
instruct people to reverence something that has nothing to do with holiness or the Bible. There is no such thing as a pulpit in the Bible.
I agree with you. But why I brought that is Ellen G. White's statement. That Ellen G. White was specifically addressing the pulpit, you know, how you conduct yourself. You know,
where do we get that from in Scripture, Mfundis? I think that's where my confusion is. Because my principles here are going to challenge me. If I don't challenge this and make it clear, I'm going to be telling, why would you just let that one go without making sure we have a biblical basis for it? Because we always teach, Mfundis, that Ellen White is the lesser light. The scriptures as we have them are the greater light. And as such, we do not base things purely on Ellen White. We base things on the scriptures as explained and expounded on by Ellen White. So we move from the premise, if we're going to put a hard and fast rule from the writings of the pen of inspiration, surely it must be based on scripture. Do we have any supporting scripture for this?
I agree with you that the Bible should be foundational. Why I brought this was the question. I just brought that to give a picture, you know, of the background to the question itself. That I've heard people ask that question.
I agree with you, Mfundis. I agree with you. So can we agree Mfundis, that there is no biblical basis for that? It's probably good advice, but it's not biblical. Would I be correct to say that?
Well, decorum is biblical. You know,
we're seeing indecorum, Mfundis. Here, when they are shouting and laughing, there is indecorum, and this is caused by God Himself.
I get what you're saying, but I think there is place for reverence and decorum in the House of God from our perspective.
Yeah, so you symphonist, what I'm doing here is contrasting the principle, the noble principle you're bringing with the actions of God. If we're going to say, if we're going to say that shouting and laughter is indecorum, then we're effectively saying God is wrong for doing that with Job. And it's not just Job, by the way. The psalmist creates the very same impression. So the psalmist, according to the psalmist, we will be laughing and shouting, and this is in the presence of the Lord. And that's what shocks me, Mfundis, that we are going to call laughing and shouting indecorum.
Yeah, of course, that tells us that, you know, Christianity is not a kill joy. Yeah, I mean, that's what it says to me. In terms of how we hang that, you know, behind the pulpit, that's where I had to bring that. But otherwise, in terms of, you know, joy is a fruit of the spirit.
Come with me, Mfundis.
Christianity is not a kill joy.
I don't even want to stretch it out to joy and just those emotions. I want us to talk about the effect that of laughter, which is purely the pursuit of humor and satire, which is the question for us today. Come with me, Mfundis, to the book of Psalms, chapter 126.
Did you say 21?
126, Mfundis.
126, verse.
We can just begin there with verse 1, Mfundis 1. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter. And our tongue with what? Shouts of joy.
Yes.
Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Those are three verses right from verse 1, Psalm chapter 126. I'm bothered by this, Mfundis, because here it's God who's making people lose their reverence. God is the one who's filling their mouths with laughter and shouting and joy. According to the pen of inspiration, if I hear you right. Yes, Mfundis?
I was about to say, let me do more research in terms of marrying the two, trying to reconcile Ellen G. White's statements on reverence and, you know, God, you know, expressed, you know, projected as a God who is humorous, which I agree. Even Jesus himself, you know, when you look at how he conducted himself, he had humor. So maybe that is an area that I may need to dig deeper and trying to harmonize the two.
Hey, as far as the one you have read so far, I don't know if there is any measure of harm there. I don't know. I'm just bothered by it being there. Maybe it's not one of those. I don't know. I'm from this. Maybe I misunderstand. I'm very much bothered. But I'll wait for you to come back and share with us a better understanding. But so far, the Bible appears to be pro-humor and pro-satire. Am I concluding this matter correctly, Mfundis?
I agree with you. There we are together. I agree with you. You know, to God, everywhere where we are, it's the pulpit in terms of he's present everywhere. So
let me be more emphatic. As far as God is concerned, if God makes people laugh and shout with joy, then God is a comedian.
I don't know how we can express it all. I don't know how we can express it. All I can say is the God we worship is a God of humor. He has a sense of humor. Yes, I agree with that.
No, I'm talking about the verses we have read so far in the book of Psalms and the book of Job. There, God is making people laugh, much like comedians make people laugh. So can we comfortably say, if God makes people laugh and we are godly people, therefore we also have a responsibility to make people laugh?
Yes, we need to create a conducive environment where people can be happy, where people can laugh.
Wherever there is God, Mfundisi, wherever there is God, there must be laughter.
I agree with you.
Yo.
Not that we have to be laughing every minute, every second, no. But no.
No. I totally agree with you. I agree with you, Mfundisi. Because we do have is it Ecclesiastes again that says there's time for sadness and a time for joy, a time to weep and a time to laugh. So I totally agree with you that we're not going to be laughing all the time. But there is a time for laughing, Mfundisi. We cannot say it's wrong to laugh on the pulpit as though yay.
I agree with you. I actually, your thoughts resonate with what I, my understanding.
Okay.
It's only, striving for balance.
Okay.
I think that's all that we need. Decorum, reverence. That's what probably may need to.
That's what I was trying to rail against you, Mfundisi, with respect that to laugh is not bad decorum. It's not indecorum. We should not regard people who are laughing in church because of what is said by God through the preacher to be indecorum. Surely we cannot do that. That would be wrong. That would be demonic and satanistic for us to claim something that is done by God is indecorum. Yo!
I think we are now bothering on the issues of reverence. Do we need to be reverent in church? I mean, as human beings.
I'm talking about, remember, Mfundisi, quite frankly, I really don't care much for church. I care for the presence of God. So whether I'm in within four walls or whether I'm by the beach, it doesn't really matter where there's a presence of God. If God makes people laugh, we must laugh. We should not stray away from laughing because we're saying we're in the presence. God wants us to, and laughing is not lack of reverence.
Yeah, I think we may need to look from a biblical perspective. What is reverence, and what are the boundaries? What it entails? I think that's what one.
If God is the one who's making people laugh, Mfundisi, where else are you going to get a standard? If God is the one who's causing people to laugh, what definition are you going to get that is going to make God wrong for making people laugh?
I was looking at in the premise of reverence.
Yes, if God finds,
maybe I need to dig deeper on. Yes.
I agree with you. If God is the one who's causing people to laugh, and according to him, it's good for people to laugh in his presence because of what he has done, then why would we call that irreverent? Are you going to say that God is irreverent for causing people to laugh? Surely, Mfundisi, the lines we draw need to be very clear. If God is causing it, then it is godly.
Laughter, I agree with you. Laughter is actually, it is healthy. It is actually therapeutic. It is God.
Yeah, I'm saying, for instance, if it's done by God, it's godly.
The thing is, I didn't go to the extent of, looking at reverence, laughter, humor, from the pulpit perspective. Looking at the Bible alone, and that's an area that I may need to relook at.
All right, let me leave you be, Mfundisi. Let me leave you be. Thank you very much for your time. Please, after you've done your research, please share it with me. I'd love to invite you again, and we can talk more about it. As you can see, the verses I've quoted for you are what are swirling in my head. I have always moved from the premise that God is a comedian, and therefore there should never be to people who are going to be said purely because they are reverent, because God makes people laugh. He makes
before the end of the day, I would have sent you the response.
Okay. Remember, Mfundisi, I will invite you for us to do another show so that people can benefit also. I don't benefit from this alone, because my being on the radio is for people to benefit and get the answer to the questions I have put forward. Does it make sense, Mfundisi?
I thought I was going to run away next time.
No, please come back and talk to us.
No, I'm joking. I'm just joking. But
yes. No, I'm happy. I'm happy, Mfundisi. I'll wait for that response. And go some Mfundisi. Right on that note, thank you very much.
I'll send the text.
Okay. Go some funis.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.